Welcome in to the 48 Minutes Podcast on Believe, presented by Bet Online. I'm Ross Geiger, joined alongside Bruce Bernstein of Pure Hoops Media and World B, Michael Freer. This is episode number 64, the Justin Van Dunn episode, as Van Dunn not only now has 9 years of experience being an NBA referee under his belt, but prior to joining the NBA, he spent 9 years as a police officer. Additionally, one of his bucket list goals is also one of mine, to visit every MLB baseball stadium. Before we move on to our action-packed show here tonight, I do want to remind everybody that BetOnline is your number one source for all your betting needs. Get the latest odds, lines, and the latest matchup reports for baseball, boxing, golf, and more. BetOnline continues to be the fastest and easiest way to place your wagers, including live betting and your favorite casino and card games available to play right from your phone. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and get in on the action. Remember to use promo code BLEAV, that is B-L-E-A-V, for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet online, where the game starts. And tonight, Bruce, I'll start with you for our opening tip.
All right, Ross, thank you. The U.S. Open Tennis Championship is one of my favorite events of the year. My wife, Nancy, is an outstanding player in her age group. And while I don't play myself, I really enjoy watching good tennis. We were at Flushing Meadows last Thursday and had a chance to follow some great players, both in Arthur Ashe Stadium and on the outer courts where you sit literally a few feet from the action. This year, there was a really nice NBA connection, believe it or not, to the tournament that featured one of the great stories of the entire tennis season. Caroline Wozniacki was at her peak in 2010 and 2011 when she spent 71 weeks as the top-ranked women's singles player. She finally broke through, winning her first major tournament in 2018 at the Australian Open. And then in 2019, she married NBA player David Lee, who was a member of the first Golden State Warriors championship team in 2015. Among the guests at their wedding were Hall of Famer Pau Gasol, Harrison Barnes, and Serena Williams. Wozniacki retired from tennis in 2020 and had two children, but returned after 3.5 years this summer. As an unseeded player, she won three matches at the U.S. Open before falling to number 6 seed Coco Gauff on Sunday in a 3-set thriller. At the age of 33, most tennis players are approaching the end of their playing days, unless, of course, your name happens to be Novak Djokovic. But Wozniacki turned the clock back this past week in New York. She won't play anymore this season, but she does plan to be ready for the Aussie Open in 2024 and hopes to compete in the Paris Olympics for Denmark next year. I say, bravo, Caroline, not only for keeping the dream alive, but for showing the world what veteran savvy is all about.
Yeah, awesome stuff there, Bruce. And to add two fun facts on David Lee, he actually played for his dad in high school at for Chaminade Prep in St. Louis, same high school that Brad Beal also attended, playing for Coach Lee. So lots of rich history with the Lee family. World B, what do you have for an opening tip?
Oh, thank you, Ross. While we will discuss the FIBA World Cup a little later in this episode, I wanted to address something that has become something of a hot-button issue over the last couple of weeks. Because, you know, it's summertime, and in the summer, even the smallest issues become major topics of debate. U.S. sprinter Noah Lyles, currently anointed as the fastest man in the world, by the way, all-time great title, after winning the 100-meter dash at last month's World Championships, has a problem with NBA champions being identified as, quote, world champions. To quote Lyles, "I love the U.S., but that ain't the world." Forgetting for a moment that the NBA is the greatest basketball league in the world, that no one has ever called Michael Jordan the greatest of all time because of his 6 world championships, and that the United States has dominated the Olympic play with gold medals in 16 to 20 summer games, the idea that this has somehow become a constant topic of conversation over the last couple of weeks, so much so that U.S. coach Steve Kerr has had to address it recently, is about the most big deal topic of debate that I can come across this summer. In terms of interest level, it ranks for me right above taking out the garbage at home. Lyles is certainly entitled to his opinion, and as a world champion, he certainly has earned the right to have his voice heard louder than most. But if he is genuinely upset that NBA champions are referred to in some circles as world champions, I would suggest finding something more meaningful to help you get through the day, like maybe a soap opera or something. What does all this mean? For me, it means that training camp cannot come soon enough.
I totally agree with you there, World B, and I think you really kind of hit the nail on the head there with that point. So well done there. As for my opening tip, if last year's Sacramento Kings weren't entertaining enough, the team just announced they've added yet another spice into the mix by signing veteran center JaVale McGee. While you might assume I'm just referring to JaVale being a first ballot Shaq and the Fool Hall of Famer, let's put the jokes aside for a second. McGee brings veteran experience as a three-time NBA champion and former Team USA member who has also spent a bulk of his career out west, having played for many of the teams the Kings can expect to be battling with this upcoming season. He spent a handful of years with the Nuggets, two stints with the Dallas Mavericks, a year with the Phoenix Suns, and two seasons with both the Warriors and the Lakers. That kind of familiarity can hold value, and no matter where he's suiting up, he also quickly becomes a fan favorite, something we can certainly expect to see happen in Sactown next year. And one last fun fact, JaVale's mother, Pamela, is also a former WNBA baller herself who was drafted by the Sacramento Monarchs. So with JaVale joining the Kings, this impressive mother-son duo will have both played pro ball for Sacramento, Los Angeles, and Team USA. Pretty cool stuff there.
Pamela also was college teammates with Cheryl Miller at USC. And that was when USC was the women's college basketball program. We're talking like mid-1980s. I think she was in the 84 Olympics.
Yep. Awesome stuff. Love to hear that. Well, without further ado, let's go ahead and get into our first half. And thought we'd have some fun tonight, fellas, and open up the Vegas sportsbook and take a look at what the over-unders on some of these NBA teams are for next regular season win totals. And I picked 9 of my favorites for projected risers and 9 of my favorites for projected fallers. Both, I think, will kind of surprise you. So let's just get right into things here and start off with the Dallas Mavericks. The Dallas Mavericks were 38-44 last year. The over-under for this year has been set at 44.5. World B, I'll start with you. You got the over or the under with the Mavericks?
I'm taking the over for this one. I'm probably one of the few that will, but I'll take it. I think, at the end of the day, for all the chaos that surrounds this franchise, they still have two of the best playmakers in the league, in Luka and Kyrie. And to me, that's worth at least 40 wins right off the bat for them. When the two of them were on the court last year, their offense was really, really good. Their offensive efficiency was about 119 points per 100 possessions. That's really good. So more time spent together, I think they'll figure it out. Yeah, I got the over.
Bruce?
I say under on the 44.5. The Mavs will be helped by having Kyrie there for an entire season, but it remains to be seen if the Kyrie-Luka backcourt combo will work. I mean, head coach Jason Kidd is a Hall of Famer at point guard, and he should have as good a chance as any coach when it comes to trying to make that thing work. And adding Derrick Jones Jr., Seth Curry, and Grant Williams definitely improves their depth. But I'm saying 44.5 is just a little bit high for me.
You know, Luka does appear to be in the best shape of his NBA career, and I know World B is a believer in the Luka-Kyrie duo. And if you think it's Luka's year to win his first MVP, maybe you're taking the over. But as for me, I've got the under as well, Bruce. So I'm with you there. And sorry, World B, you're going to be outnumbered with the Dallas Mavericks.
He'll probably end up being right, Ross. So
yeah, for sure. That's usually how it works. All right, next team, the Detroit Pistons. Last year, they were 17-65. Over-under for this season has been set at 28.5. Bruce?
I say I'm taking the over. I think they'll win 29 games or more. This team is loaded with young talent and lots of potential. New head coach Monty Williams will have a chance to mold some young talent like Ausar Thompson, Jalen Duren, Jaden Ivey, and Cade Cunningham. And then there's some veteran help in Joe Harris, Bojan Bogdanovic, and Monte Morris. We may not be looking at a playoff team or even a play-in team, but this group should get stronger as the season goes on.
Will
be? I am taking the under here. I think they will be improved. It's very difficult for, they only had 17 wins last year, as you said. It's very difficult to have a team not win 20 games in consecutive seasons in an 82-game schedule unless, your team happens to be the Philadelphia 76ers during the whole process time period when they had three straight sub 21 seasons. Otherwise, it's really hard to not improve on from not winning 20 games to, you know, reaching 20 games. I think they'll get in their 20s. I just don't think they're in the upper end of the 20s. They're still very young. Monty Williams being the coach is going to be a big help for them. I do think a guy like Joe Harris is going to be a big help for them. Just, you know, the way Bogdanovich was for them last year. He was their leading scorer until he, you know, shut it down. So I think they're going to be improved. I don't think they're 11 wins or 12 wins better than last year. And they got to prove it to me first. They are young, as Bruce said, but that used to go take some time.
Yeah, I'm right there with you, World B. I mean, listen, this is one of my favorite teams as far as league pass teams are concerned heading into the season. Can't wait to watch them play. I like their young talent. Well, I like their young talent last year. Now I love it with Asar Thompson on board. But not even Monty Williams as a coach can get this group to 29 wins in the Central Division this year, a division I think has improved mightily over the course of the past couple of seasons. And I think it's really going to take its turn. Take its toll on the Detroit Pistons earlier on in the season, with some of these teams continuing to kind of be upper echelon in the Eastern Conference. But I have to see there. All right, next team, Bruce, I'm going to start with you on this one. The Houston Rockets. They were 22-60 last year. The over under this year has been set at 31.5.
I'm going to take the over on this. The Rockets will be a really intriguing team this year. They have young talent in Jabari Smith Jr., Jalen Green, Tari Eason, Alfred Sengun. I always have trouble with that name. And rookies Amen Thompson and Cam Whitmore, plus new head coach Ime Udoka. Did I mention they also added veterans Fred VanVleet, Jeff Green, and Dylan Brooks? Last year, the Rockets won 22 games, and I could see them doubling that number and making the play-in tournament, and possibly even getting into the playoffs if they can win a play-in tournament battle. But I love what they're doing there, and I'm going on the over 31.5.
Will D?
For me, it's still the under. I don't see this team maybe improved. So young last year, they had more minutes devoted to first and second year players than any team in the league by a wide margin. I think 61% of their minutes went to first and second year players. So they definitely have young guys. And as Bruce mentioned, they added the veterans. They're still one of the worst teams in the league at both ends of the court. They've been bottom five in the NBA in offensive and defensive efficiency for three straight seasons. I don't think he improved that much overnight in order to get into the 30-win column. I do think they'll be better defensively. Dylan Brooks helps. Udoka as a coach will help them defensively. They're just a horrendous shooting team. They were the worst shooting team in the league last year. And I just – getting Fred VanVleet does not help. I know he had in the past had good shooting seasons, but he's coming off a bad shooting season, and now you're expecting him – he could do it. I'll just take a wait-and-see attitude and take the under on that.
I echo that, World B. I think, of course, the West got better. Brad Beal came out West. Marcus Smart came out West. The defending champs are in the West. Chris Paul stayed in the West. There's just too much going on in the Western Conference for me to really see the Houston Rockets get 32 wins this year. Much like the Detroit, I do like H-Town's offseason, naming Ime Udoka the new head coach and bringing in a veteran like Steady Freddy. But out West, I just don't see them grabbing 32 wins next year. I've got the under. All right, next team will be is for you. You can start us off with the Indiana Pacers. They were 35-47 last year. The over-under is now set at 38.5 for this year.
I'm going to take the over, but it's going to be close. It's closer than you think. Okay. I'll take the over. I think Halliburton is a difference maker. He's one of my favorites. I think Miles Turner is going to be motivated and have a really good year. I saw a quote recently where he wants to be a 50, 40, 90 guy. Yes, yeah. That's a nice goal to have. If you want to do that, that's a great one to have. Whether he can do it, he has a better shot than people think to do that. He's improved as a shooter, but their defense really has to improve. And I want to see them improve defensively. They were 26th in efficiency last year in defensive efficiency. So, you know, they were outscored by almost 12 points per 100 possessions when you had Halliburton, Buddy Hield, Benedict Mathurin, and Miles Turner on the floor together. And so that's going to be a major part of the rotation again. So I want to see them improve. Bruce Brown and Obi Toppin coming on board will definitely help them, and that's why they'll get the over. But it's going to be closer than you think.
Absolutely. And Bruce, I know Rick Carlisle's one of your guys. What do you got over under on the Pacers?
I've got over 38.5. I believe the natural progression of the young guys that will be mentioned, like Tyrese Halliburton, Benedict Mathurin, Andrew Nembhard, as well as the addition of Bruce Brown, as will be said, Obi Toppin, and returning veterans like Turner and Buddy Hield, marks this team as a likely playoff team that could even finish in the top six. Rick Carlisle is a Hall of Fame caliber coach, and he will get the very best out of this group.
I'm right there with you, Bruce. I'm taking the over here, and I'll even make a bold statement and say I think if Tyrese Halliburton would have remained healthy last year, they would have gotten to 39 wins. So for me, this is a no-brainer of an over pick in my mind. I think to the experience he's gaining playing for Team USA in the FIBA World Championship is only going to help. And with the additions that they've made in the offseason with Bruce Brown, I think – and Obi Toppin, I think those guys are going to just give some more tools to Rick Carlisle there to where he's going to have a lot to work with this year, and they should be a lot of fun in this year's Central Division. All right, next up, Bruce, we've got the Los Angeles Lakers. Last year they finished 43-39. The over-under for them this year is 47.5. Over-under.
I'm going to go with the under. Any team with LeBron James and Anthony Davis should be expected to win 50 games, if not more. But LeBron will be playing his 20th season, and AD's health is always an issue. Cam Reddish and Gabe Vincent are good additions, and Rui Hachimura was excellent in the playoffs. Austin Reeves continues to improve. And if everyone stays healthy, they could exceed 47.5. But I'm just really skeptical about whether that will happen. So I'm taking the under 47.5.
All right, World D.
This is, for me, I'm taking the over. This is my team to pay attention to this year. I think they're a 50-plus win team. And with Bruce's point, I think health is the biggest key. If they stay healthy, I see this as a 50-win team. LeBron, we keep waiting for him to slow down, and he just hasn't yet. So, and if AD's healthy, we saw what they can do when everybody's healthy. Yeah. In the playoffs, where they got to the conference finals, this is a really good team. I think the role players are really solid. Austin Reeves, Hachimura. I think D'Angelo Russell was a good pickup, and they really improved their efficiency when he was on the court last year. After he came aboard, was really really impressive. So if they got the bench, the role players, and they have the stars, this is their last good chance at a serious title contention team. This is the season. So it's either this or now, so I'll take the over.
Lots of good points there, World B, but going to go against that. I've got the under here. LeBron does continue to age. I'm never one that's going to bet on AD's health, always being a question mark there. And no disrespect to Austin Reeves, who's having an outstanding summer, continues to get better each and every game with Team USA. But most players aren't good enough to account for 5 more wins on the prior season. And I feel like the Austin Reeves effect is playing a little bit into that sports book over under there. So I've got the under, but they're definitely more than capable. I totally agree with you there. All right, world, the one you've been waiting for sure, the Oklahoma City Thunder. Last year, they were 40-42. And this year, their over under is set at 44.5 wins.
I'm taking the unconventional wisdom on this one and going under.
Wow.
Yes, I know. Everybody's expecting this team to continue to rise, and they may do it. They absolutely may do it. But they really improved their offense last season. They were the worst offense 2 seasons ago, and they were the most improved offense last season. But, you know, when you're last, you have nowhere to go but up, I suppose. They have to start beating the good teams to really get this kind of respect. Last year, they were 17-31 against teams that were above 500, and they were 23-11 against teams that were 500 or worse. So they have to really improve on beating the good teams to get that respect for me. They have the talent, all the talent's young and been there a while. So they're ready to do it. And they very well could. I'm just going to like some of the others, I'll take a wait and see approach, and I'll take the other. 500 is a good season for them. It's not as progressing as they want to be, perhaps, but I think that's where I'm looking at them.
Bruce?
I say with great enthusiasm, over 44 and a half. This team won 40 games last year, and they surprised many around the league with their development. They'll be adding 7-footer Chet Holmgren, who was the number 2 overall pick in last year's draft. He missed the whole season with an injury. So you're adding a significant talent there and a big who can, you know, work on defense and help their defense, perhaps. He missed his rookie season, as we said, with a foot injury, which he'll make an impact. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and Josh Giddey are a year older. The two Jalen Williamses both come off solid rookie seasons, especially Jalen Williams, who averaged 14 points. There is depth with Lu Dort, Victor Oladipo, and Davis Bertans. So I like this team to exceed 44 and a half.
I'm right there with you, Bruce. I think this is a no-brainer of an over. This young group continues to gel. It's ready to take the next step following SGA's lead. Josh Giddey, I think we'll see another big step in stride in his game this year. Chet Holmgren, he seems to be one of the biggest fascinating wild cards as a rookie of the year candidate. I think he could definitely add an impact to that offense and defense on both ends of the floor. And one other side note that we won't get to tonight that I thought was interesting opening up the sportsbook for this show. Mark Daigneault, the head coach of the Oklahoma City Thunder, right now is the heavy favorite to win Coach of the Year. So, I mean, all signs are pointing to possibly a good season in Oklahoma City. So, like the over there. All right, world, I'm going to go right back to you with an Uno reverse card because we're going to talk about the Orlando Magic. Last year, they were 34 and 48. This year, their over-under has been set at 36 and a half wins.
I have the over. I mean, no surprise anybody who's listening to the show. I think this was a team that was climbing at the end of last season. You know, their overall record 34, like you said, 34 and 20 and 48 last year, but they were 29 and 28 after they started 5-20, and then got played one over 500 the rest of the way. So they clearly have that potential. I think, some things have to happen. Their offense they have to shoot better. Their offense has to improve. They really don't know. I really don't know who their guards are at this point. They had some decent play, but really inconsistent. But I think they have a guy in Banchero who is a 30-point-a-night potential guy. I think I championed him to be an all-star last season for a while. And he kind of cooled off after. He's got to really step up this second season. I think he will. He's got to shoot better. He was a terrible shooter last year from the perimeter. As soon as he does, as soon as he improves that, his world gets better. I think they're better. I think they're a 40-win team. They're pushing the 500 mark. That in the East, that could get them in the playoffs, but probably a play-in tournament. But I'll take the over.
Bruce?
I'm taking the over 36 and a half as well. As World B mentioned, it begins and ends with Paolo Banchero, who is about to begin a run as a perennial all-star after being snubbed as a rookie. This group won 34 games last year, right? And getting to 37, which is the over, shouldn't be a problem. The Wagner brothers, Franz and Mo, as well as Wendell Carter and Jonathan Isaac, give them size along with Banchero. Markel Fultz averaged career highs in points, rebounds, and assists last season. And rookie Anthony Black is a first-year player that should be getting some significant minutes. So I've got the over.
It sounds to me like we should all be going on NBA.com after this episode and buying a Magic jersey because I'm right there with you guys. I think a projected 3-win improvement off last year seems like a slap in the face if you ask me. I'll confidently take the over with you guys. I mean, year two of Paolo. Franz continues to get better, and the rest of the crew that you guys alluded to does have great size. I think these guys can definitely be in contention for a play-in tournament next year. And they could be like that kind of Cinderella story, almost like the Minnesota Timberwolves from two summers ago. So keep an eye on the Orlando Magic. I think good things are coming for them this year. All right, next team we got, Bruce, is the Phoenix Suns. They were 45 and 37 last year. The over-under this year is 52 and a half wins.
I'm saying the over is going to come in with this team. Durant and Booker, Kevin and Devin, lead the charge along with Bradley Beal and DeAndre Ayton. With Chris Paul gone, the point guard situation needs to work itself out, but they have players who can get their own shots. So their offense could look much different than last year. Eric Gordon adds shooting off the bench, but if DeAndre Ayton has his head in the game with new coach Frank Vogel, this team could be scary. So I'm going with the over 52.5.
Will B?
I have the under. And this isn't to say they're going to be a disappointment or a major I don't think that I see them as a 53-win team in this Western Conference. They could be a 50-win team, which could be, in the West, good enough for second best. You know, the Nuggets only won 53 last year, I think. So and they got to, won the championship. So it wouldn't be a disappointment. But I think Frank Vogel is going to help them. They're traditionally a good defensive team. They were seventh in the league in defensive efficiency last season. But CP3 is gone. Bradley Beal coming in is not going to make anybody think Bill Russell as far as defensive players. So we'll see if Frank Vogel can get them to play defense. He got the Lakers to be one of the best defensive teams in the league when he was there. They were the best defensive team the year after they won the title, the Lakers were with Vogel. So, we think of them as this great shooting team because they have all these shooters, but they weren't. They were only 22nd in effective field goal percentage last season. So I got to see that improve on a regular basis. And at the end of the day, they still don't have a point guard, which may or may not matter. But to me, at the moment, I see them as 50 wins. I don't see them as much more under.
I probably tend to agree with you there, Will B. This one's definitely close. I mean, 53 wins is really pushing it to really kind of bet the over on that. But I'm going to take it. I mean, obviously the biggest question marks is can Eric Gordon stay healthy? They'll certainly need him to run some point guard in crunch time. But, with KD, knowing his clock is ticking, this will be his first full year with the Phoenix Suns, hopefully healthy. Ayton's got a clean plate with a new coach. I'll take the over despite my point guard concerns. I think what they did this offseason with their reserve spots was tremendous, and that's kind of given me that confidence to take the over on that. And I would be a real little reluctant to take the under here in Phoenix and be proved wrong. So I'm going to be optimistic here for all my Phoenix Suns fans out there. And last but not least, the San Antonio Spurs here. They were 22-60 last year. Their over-under this year has been set at 28.5 wins. Bruce, I'll start with you. You taking the over or under on Pop Spurs?
I'm going to take the over 28.5. Victor Wembanyama will be under the microscope as the most highly touted rookie since LeBron James 20 years ago. The fans in San Antonio, though, will be patient with him, and they will improve on last season's win total of 22. But Wemby won't be the only reason. Reggie Bullock campaign and Shetty Osman and had veteran experience. And some of the younger dudes like Jeremy Sohan, Keldon Johnson, and Devin Vassell will improve. We hope that friend of the show, Doug McDermott, will get a chance to show that he's still a premier long-range shooter in this league. But I've got the Spurs getting to 29 or more wins.
World B?
I have the under. I'm looking forward to seeing Wemby play. And as Bruce mentioned, I'll root for Doug McDermott any day of the week. He was great on our show. And I hope he gets a nice run. If he starts and gets about 30 minutes a night, I'll change it. I'll take the over then, as a tribute to him. But for now, this was not just the worst team in the league. This was a bad, bad team last year. There's just no way around it. They were bottom two in both offensive and defensive efficiency last season, the only team in the league to finish in the bottom two in both. They had their opponents had an effective field goal percentage of 57.6%. That's the highest opponent field goal percentage in NBA history. I mean, and what the point is, you don't go from there to seven more wins, in my opinion, to get to 29 and the over. They could be improved. They probably will be improved with Wemby there. It's asking an awful lot to get them to 30 with the rest of that group, because the rest of that group was just so bad. There's just no way around it. So I'll take the under.
Yeah, I'm right there with you, World B. I'm taking the under as well. I do like some of the veterans that they did add to the group, as Bruce mentioned there. But Wemby isn't close to seven wins good, especially with the under the microscope that this team's going to be unfairly or fairly under this year. I mean, there's going to be a lot of big games, big crowds coming out to watch Victor Wembanyama. I don't know if those young guys like Devin Vassell, Keldon Johnson are really ready for that kind of spotlight. It's going to take some adjusting, not just for Wemby, but some of his younger teammates. So I'm going absolutely under on this. And I also have the hashtag don't tell Doug. And with that, we've gone ahead and reached our halftime buzzer. So we're going to take a quick break and come back with you for the second half. All right, and we're back with the start of our second half, and this is the projected fallers for NBA regular season wins, according to the Vegas Sportsbook. Lots of teams in here may surprise you, and Bruce, I'm going to start off with the first team for you, the Boston Celtics. Last year, they finished 57-25. Their over-under has been set at 54.5 wins this year.
Well, as you mentioned, they won 57 last year, and they're projected to win 54.5 this year. I say over 54.5, but not necessarily over 57. Marcus Smart and Grant Williams are gone, and Kristaps Porzingis is added. This team's goal should be to get to the postseason with KP, Robert Williams III, and Al Horford healthy, even if they don't finish with the best record in the Eastern Conference. They can win fewer games and actually be a better team. So I'm going to take over 54.5, but not necessarily increasing their win total from last season.
All right, World B?
I'm taking the over on this. This is going to be the team I want to pay attention to more than any. I know everybody's on the Spurs, or I'm sorry, the Suns, with KD and everybody there, and that's the glamour team at the moment. My eyes are going to be on the Celtics to see, because of, like Bruce said, all these changes. This team's going to take more threes than any team in the league this coming season. They had the highest percentage of one or two in terms of number percentage of their jump shots that were threes last season. I think that they're going to be number one in that category with KP coming on board. And I just, you know, they were the only team in the league to rank in the top three in offensive and defensive efficiency last season. I don't see them dropping off that much. I see them in the East. I don't see, other than the Milwaukee Bucks, another team that is really there besides the Celtics. So I'm going to say over, just if nothing else, by default.
Yeah, I'm with you guys. I like the over here as well. No more distractions with Jaylen Brown having signed his massive contract. They've got a much better, more seasoned coaching staff. I like the addition of Kristaps Porzingis. I certainly think Derek White can take on a bigger and better role with this team as one of their main guards. And so I'm all in on 55 wins for Boston this year. But with you, Bruce, I don't know if I'd say they'd make it over 57, but I think 55 is certainly doable and should be done this year. All right, World B, next team is the Cleveland Cavaliers. They were 51-31 last season. Over under this year is 50.5. So basically, do you think they can match last year's win total?
For me, I'm taking the under. Okay. And the reasons are, I mean, they could very well get to where they were last year. They had a great season. I think you got to wonder which offense are we going to see from the Cavs? Is it the team during the regular season that was top 10, it averaged almost 116 points per 100 possessions? Or are they going to be the team against the Knicks in the first round where they barely averaged a point per possession against a defense that the Knicks were not, you know, there weren't the 90s Knicks when it comes to defense, this team last season? And at the end of the day, too, this is a bad rebounding team. They were 20th in offensive and defensive rebound percentage, and the Knicks absolutely destroyed them on the offensive glass in the playoffs and really won that series with ease, five games. And I don't see this team, while there are pieces that can get better, I don't see it as getting better, so I'll take the under. They, not a total complete drop-off, but not at the 50-win mark or 51.
Bruce, what's your thoughts?
Well, I think they overachieved last season when they won 51 regular season games because they flamed out badly against the Knicks in the first round of the playoffs with home court advantage, right? I say under 50.5 this season, but they're still a very good team with the electric backcourt of Donovan Mitchell and Darius Garland and the two young bigs with Jared Allen and Mobley. Plus, Mobley's big brother, who's going to be a rookie, gives them a little bit of extra beef in the front court. Newly acquired Max Strus and George Niang provide a little bit more shooting. But I see this team topping out at 49 or 50 wins, so I'm taking the under.
All right. Well, I'll be the odd man out here, and I've got the over. I think one full year of Spida and Garland under their belt together is only going to help them become even more efficient next season as a duo in the backcourt, and hopefully another big offseason for Evan Mobley. That's something I'm willing to bet on. I think he's a talented young big in this league and certainly ready to take that next step. And then I love the pickups of Max Strus and Georges Niang, adding some shooting that they lacked last season when they were forced to kind of play some non-shooters that were just kind of defensive players out there. So I think they added a little bit of offense, and I think some of the defense can be picked up with some communication in that backcourt. And of course, with their bigs down low, the Mobley brothers, of course, they've also got Jared Allen. I really like just the tools that JB Bickerstaff has to work with this year. So I think they finished one win better than last year, but it's definitely going to be a close one. All right, World B, next one is a hot one. It is the Memphis Grizzlies. Last year, they were 51-31. Their over-under this year is 46.5 this season. You going over or under?
I'm actually going under on this. This is a team that I think is going to, unfortunately for them, have a drop-off next season. The loss of Ja Morant for a significant time can't help them. I mean, just at the end of the day, it's not gonna help this team. You know, they're a very good defensive unit. They're one of three teams that ranked in the top 10 in defensive efficiency each of the last three seasons. The others being Miami and Phoenix, who are obviously among the best in the league. And you know, they're a young team still. They still Ja Morant, Jaren Jackson Jr. is both 24, I think, or will be 24 on opening night. Desmond Bane's only 25, so they're still a young team and have a chance to grow. But this is a team that does that. I love watching this team play, and I love covering them because they do all the other things to score. They're not a great shooting team, but they get second chance points. They get fast break points. They get offensive rebounds. They do all the little points off turnovers, things like that. And I just think, you know, without Ja Morant, one of the best players in the league, certainly their best player, being out for a significant time, that's going to cost them.
Bruce?
They won 51 last season, and they're not going to do it again. I say they'll go over on 46.5, but they're going to have to do it with Ja Morant missing almost a third of the season with that suspension. Marcus Smart comes over from Boston, adds toughness and leadership, but losing Dylan Brooks definitely is going to hurt their defense. And Steven Adams, who missed basically half the season last year with an injury, is going to have to stay healthy if they're to exceed 46.5 wins. But I think they'll find a way to do it.
I've got the under on this one. Of course, I do want to keep in mind Jaren Jackson and Steven Adams both had some health issues in addition to their obvious other problems that they had with keeping star guys on the court with off the court issues. But you know, Marcus Smart's on board to kind of lessen the blow with the Ja Morant suspension. At least this one won't be out of the blue surprise. They come into the season, come into camp knowing they'll be without their best player. But I think, you know, without Dylan Brooks and kind of just how the rest of the West is kind of shaped out, it's going to be really tough for them to hit that mark. So I got to go under. And the next team here for you, World B, will be the Milwaukee Bucks. Last year, they had a league-leading 58 wins with 24 losses. The over-under for them this year, 53.5 wins. Over-under on the Bucks.
I'm taking the over. I think this is a team that's going to have a chip. I think this is the premier team in the Eastern Conference, maybe in the NBA. I think they're going to have a chip on their shoulder. I mean, how does an NBA champion that, with all their guys intact, that lost in the first round to the Miami Heat, not come into training camp, not come into next season with a big chip on their shoulder, looking to prove everybody that that was a fluke? So I expect them to be really – if there was ever a team to be motivated, it was the Milwaukee Bucks. They had a top five defense last year, but they were their offense was really struggling. They were middle of the pack in efficiency offensively. So they need to improve on that, and they need their guys – we tell you about just about every team, but they need their big three to be healthy, Giannis, Middleton, and Drew, which wasn't the case last season. When they're all on the court over the last three seasons, when you know since Drew has been there, they've outscored opponents by almost 12 points per 100 possessions. That's a really impressive net efficiency for this team. If they can get them all on court together at the same time and be healthy, yeah, they're the best team in the East and maybe the best team in the league.
Bruce?
You know, Ross, much like the Celtics, they're probably going to win fewer games than last season when they won 58. But I say they still go over 53.5. But health will be a big issue with this group because they are a veteran team. The Lopez brothers, Brooke and Robin, are both 35. Jrue Holiday is 33. Chris Middleton is 32. Giannis turns 29 in December. And key role players like Pat Connaughton and Jay Crowder are both north of 30. They also have a rookie coach in Adrian Griffin, so we're going to have to see how he handles an older team as a rookie coach. So I say they'll go over 53.5, but I don't expect them to reach 58.
Believe it or not, I've got the under. So the only one here is the Bucks fan himself. I've already voiced my concerns about the Central Division getting stronger. Same crew, but there is a new coach. 54 will be tough. I'm going to have to take the over. I just think too much has started to take shape in the Eastern Conference, and you have my concerns with the aging group in that core with Milwaukee. All right, World B, back at you with another Uno reverse card. We're going to be talking about your New York Knicks. Last year, the Knicks were 47-35. This year, their over-under on wins is 44.5. What do you got?
I have the over for this team. I think they're a team that can approach 50 wins. I think they can take that big of a step. For a team that lost in the conference semifinals, they're going to have a lot of guys coming in this season with a chip on their shoulder because of the criticism they received. I mean, you would have thought Julius Randle shot the Pope the way the New York fans got on him and said he was an all-NBA player, but he's just routinely criticized for everything that goes wrong with this team. And I think he's really working on it and, you know, wants to get back to that level. I think Jalen Brunson not making the All-Star team is going to motivate him to try and improve. And he's a leader anyway, and he's going to try, you know, give his all every night anyway. And the guy I pick on more than anybody else in the league, at least, or certainly on the Knicks, RJ Barrett, is having a tremendous FIBA World Cup playing for Team Canada. So I think he's out to show that the criticism that he gets from, you know, goofballs like me is not right. They have to shoot much better than they did. 20th in the league in effective field goal percentage last season for a team that won 47 games. If they want to get to the 50 win mark, like I think they can, they have to shoot better. They got most of their points, and not most of their points, but they got so many of their points off offensive rebound. They're one of the best in the league. I think only the Rockets were better at offensive rebound percentage, which makes sense because the Rockets were the worst shooting team in the league. They had more chances to get an offensive rebound. And the Knicks were number two because they were near the bottom in effective field goal percentage. If they can do that, they're a 50-win team, I think.
Bruce?
Well, as World B mentioned, they did win 47 last season, and they're projected to win 44.5 this season, and I'm going to say over 44.5. I'm really not sure why the smart people in Vegas think this team is going to take a step backwards this season. I don't see that at all. The only player on that roster older than 30 is little-used Evan Fournier. I see them as a possible 50-win team, as does World B. Freer. And again, with Jalen Brunson, Julius Randle, Josh Hart, RJ Barrett, and Emmanuel Quickley all playing well, I see that happening. Knicks fans have just got to hope that Coach Tom Thibodeau doesn't burn out his key guys by playing them too many minutes in the regular season and seeing them run out of gas in the playoffs. But they're going to be north of 44.5 wins.
That was kind of my point there, and I'm actually going to take the under. Sorry, World B. And, you know, you had mentioned RJ Barrett having a great season this summer playing in FIBA. Obviously, of course, we've got Jalen Brunson and Hart both on the Team USA team. I've got serious concerns about Tom Thibodeau running these guys into the ground a little too early. I think one of the ways I could be proved wrong and maybe these guys are relieved of some heavy-duty minutes earlier on in the season is getting some big games from Emmanuel Quickley, which he's more than capable of doing, taking the next step this year. But I think after an exhausting summer with Team USA and for Team Canada for RJ Barrett, it's going to be a close call at 45 wins, but I'm going to take the over just knowing how Tom Thibodeau likes to run his guys out there 40-plus minutes every single night and is a very demanding coach. So we'll see there. All right, next one, Bruce. The Philadelphia 76ers, they were 54-28 last year. This year, their over under on wins is 48.5. So quite a step down there. What are your thoughts on the Sixers heading into the new year?
I say I'm taking the under on 48.5 wins, even though, as you mentioned, they won 54 last year. This James Harden trade demand is ruining the team chemistry that was so important last season. If they trade him before the season, they won't get equal value. If they don't trade him, they'll have a disgruntled player who may end up abandoning the team for a style that helped make Joel Embiid the MVP last season. Good luck to new head coach Nick Nurse. He's going to need it. I say under 48.5.
Will be.
I also say under. I think this is a team that's going to take a major drop from last season. With one asterisk, if James Harden actually returns and gets his head on straight and somehow, some way, all is forgiven, then I'll take the over. But I don't see that as, you know, like Bruce said, happening, which is a real shame because we mentioned before, you got the league MVP in his prime, and you're just going to waste the season with the whole James Harden debacle. You know, they had the third best record in the league last season. They were top 10 in offensive and defensive efficiency. They had the Celtics down. They were up 3-2 in the playoffs. And now they're getting rid of the coach that's legendary for blowing these leads in Doc Rivers. And they're just, you know, because of this whole debacle, you're just not going to be the same team without James Harden on the court. And so I say a big drop for this team.
All right. Well, I'm going to be the odd man out here and say that I think this James Harden distraction really put a dent in the projected wins. And I see some value here. So I'm actually going to take the over. I'm a big fan of Tyrese Maxey. I think Nick Nurse is, of course, an experienced coach who's proven he's won a championship. He's a creative coach, and he should be a refreshing new voice for the rest of the team with or without James Harden on board. So I'll go ahead and take my chances, and this will be one of the ones that I may regret, but I'll take the over 49 wins for the MVP. And next, we've got the Sacramento Kings. Bruce, we'll start with you on this one. The Kings were 48-34 last year. I know your boys with Mike Brown, so do you think they can win over 44.5 games this year?
I'm going to say yes. I'm going to take the over on 44.5. Last year, they hung their hats on offense, which is really unusual for a Mike Brown team. They led the league in points scored, but were 25th in points allowed. Okay, De'Aaron Fox and Domantas Sabonis are their big two, and they have rising star Keegan Murray and solid role players with Malik Monk, Kevin Herter, and Harrison Barnes. They may not improve on last season's 48 wins, but they'll win at least 45.
World B?
I have the over with this team. I think this is a team on the rise. I think this is the next team with everybody in the West. You know, maybe not this season, but I think they're good enough to be more than 45 wins. I think if this team can ever get better defensively. I mean, they have been, over the last decade, 7 out of the last 8 years, they've been bottom 10 in defensive efficiency, including last season. If they can ever get better defensively, this is a 50-win potential team. I really believe that. They have the best clutch offense, and that's games that are close in the within 5 points in the final 5 minutes or whatever. When the games are tight, they come through. Their offensive efficiency was near 128.6 points for 100 possessions in those minutes when the game is on the line. They can get it done in the clutch moments. And so I think if they can ever improve the defense and maybe avoid so many clutch moments and just have some walkaway wins, yeah, I think this is a team. This is a team that could be on the rise and approach 50 wins.
I'm right there with you. I think this is one that really had me scratching my head. I mean, how dare they disrespect the Beam team in Vegas this year? I think obviously the surprise is gone. People know this team is good, but I don't see last year as any type of a fluke. It's onward and upward in Sactown, and I'm all over. I'm all in on the Kings being able to, you know, win at least, 45 wins? I mean, that should be a no-brainer this year. Keegan Murray, year two, he's only going to get better. I think having that playoff experience last year is only going to help them and keep them motivated. We talked about the Milwaukee Bucks getting the early bounce last year. I think the same thing on a different level for the Sacramento Kings can happen in the Western Conference this year. So I like Sactown, and I can't wait to see them light up the beam this year. And moving on to some more interesting groups here. Let's talk a little bit about the Utah Jazz, and I'll start with you. The Jazz were 37-45 last year. Vegas has them at 35.5 wins this year. What are your thoughts on that?
I'm going to take the under on this. I think this is a team that's I loved them last year because we all thought they were going to in the tank last year, and they said no, we're playing to win, and they darn near did it for a long time. Lauri Markkanen was one of my favorite players in the league. Their front line is solid. Markkanen, John Collins, they picked up Walker Kessler. I mean, their front line is really good. Their guard play is really not. I mean, it's just, they're just, who is in the backcourt for this team? You know, Taylor Horton Tucker was okay after the All-Star break. And you have Colin Sexton and Jordan Clarkson. These are not players I'm looking at to try and increase, to get me over to 36 wins. So I'm taking the under.
Bruce?
Well, as World B mentioned, they were a pleasant surprise last year with 37 wins, which is probably around 15 more than most of us expected. This year, they're projected to get to 35.5, and that's right on the nose in my mind. I'll say over 35.5, but it could very well be 36, okay? I really like adding John Collins to this group. I've always been a fan of that guy, but last year was just the worst for him. He had this cloud hanging over his head in Atlanta last season. I could see him averaging 20-10 this year without, you know, just kind of getting a fresh start and working with some good, you know, good coach, good teammates. This team is loaded with bigs, but their backcourt talent needs an upgrade. Colin Sexton is still just 24 years old, and I think he'll play well, but I'm not really sure, you know, Jordan Clarkson at his advanced age, I think his best basketball is probably behind him, but I'm still going to say that I think Utah can get to 36, which means I'm taking the over.
All right. Well, this one's been tough on me. Obviously, much like the Sacramento Kings secret as a team, the secret's also out on Lauri Markkanen heading into this year. Everyone knows what to expect from him moving forward. So no surprises with his play. My heart wants to take the over since Utah does play the right way. I really like the way Will Hardy has that team playing as a unit. But I'm going under as the West just got so much better. And I think they did overachieve last season. And last but certainly not least, World B, I did want to mention the Washington Wizards. Last year, the Wizards were 35-47. This year, their over-under is set at 24.5 wins. What do you got?
Well, I think they are last and least in our conversation for a reason, not just because it's alphabetically. I think I'm taking the under. I think this is this year's Spurs with an aging group, not a young group like San Antonio. I just don't see how you get rid of Bradley Beal and Kristaps Porzingis and Monte Morris and get better for starters. Yeah. So certainly they're not going to be the same team as last year. Jordan Poole, there's a reason the Warriors were all fine with letting him go. So he'll get his shots in Washington. Tyus Jones is a decent pickup for them, by the way. Great assist guy, no turnovers. He's led the league in assist to turnover ratio, I think 5 straight years, something like that. So he's going to be solid for them, or better than people think. But yeah, they're going in the tank for something down the road, draft pick or whatever. And you can't do that if and get to 25, 26 wins. So they're going to be have a tough time getting to 20.
Bruce?
They won 35 last year, and they're expected to be more than 10 games worse with that projected win total of 24.5. Bradley Beal has moved on to Phoenix, and they definitely have some dead weight on that roster. If you look at that roster, I mean, there is some dead weight there. But they do have Kyle Kuzma, Denny Avdija, and Jordan Poole. Danilo Gallinari's coming off an injury. If he bounces back, he can be helpful. And yes, they will be bad, but not 24 wins bad. I'll say over 24.5 wins, but probably no more than 30, and it could be like 25.
Yeah, we'll have to keep an eye on those Celtic matchups. I heard Gallinari has the Celtics game circled on his calendar already too, so we'll see how he plays in those. But as for me, I've got the under. I mean, this season should be an all-out tank job. by Michael Winger and the Washington Wizards. So unless you think Jordan Poole can make an All-NBA team this year, I'd highly suggest the under because it's going to be a tough go there this season. I think they're looking for some draft capital moving forward. And with that, let's go right into our final thoughts, fellas. Obviously, we'll keep this one short, but thought we should discuss Team USA dropping a game over the weekend to Lithuania. Of course, a tough loss there. That also came with some interesting comments from elsewhere and amongst some of the Team USA personnel. So, Bruce, any thoughts that you wanted to quickly add as a final thought on Team USA dropping the game?
Yeah, well, you know, Lithuania is a big team, a lot of 6'9 and bigger guys on there. Team USA is not a big team. Lithuania was on fire from downtown, and also they did a great job on the boards because their height. As a man once said, you cannot teach height, okay? Yeah. So that was the story of that game. I mean, it was reasonably close, but, you know, if Team USA expects to do well moving forward, they're going to have to make more shots because they didn't do well on the boards in that game.
World B, you have anything to add on the one tall guy we had on our team, Jaren Jackson Jr., and his play?
Well, I mean, what do you have, one rebound in the game? I mean, that's defensive player of the year. That's what you get. It's funny when this happens, how everybody on social media likes to point out, well, we're not sending our best out there. Well, duh. You know, we know that. It's not – but we still had a pretty good team out there, a team more than capable of winning the gold. Their defense was horrendous in this game. I mean, Lithuania made their first 9 or 10 threes. It's hard to win any game like that when you win, you know, when your opponent hits 9 or 10 threes to start the game in a row. So, you know, they knew where they were anyway. They knew they were in the quarters no matter what. So I wouldn't necessarily call this a panic thing. They have to improve some things, but I think they have enough star power to get through. And I think they're still going to win the gold.
Yeah. Now, one thing that really stood out to me was Grant Hill's comments saying that the international teams no longer fear NBA players. Not sure what you guys thought about that, but for me it was, well, no kidding. I mean, our last five MVPs have been international stars.
Exactly.
I mean,
look at any country's roster. It's just littered with NBA players. Look at Team Canada. It's loaded with NBA players, good NBA players, not just, you know, some guys who are sitting next to the water cooler. There's some starters and all-stars on these rosters, which is great. That's how it should be. This is fun.
Yep. And that's why they should be world champions, because all the best players play in the NBA. I mean, just kind of to go full circle here with tonight's show. I mean, boom, there it is right there for us. But before we sign off, I do want to let all our listeners know, if you bet the over on this show going over 48 minutes, go ahead and cash your bet slips, because once again, you were correct on that over under. And with that, that will do it for this edition of the 48 Minutes Podcast on Belief, presented by Bet Online. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll be back with you next week to be sure you're up to date and 48 on all things around the association. Take care, everybody.